You know, practice makes better. And at some point, you have to stop yourself and say, okay, let's be pragmatic here. This is good. All the elements to this product are good. You've done this 1,000 times before, you know, and I think it's like the spirit of perfectionism, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes that can be a hindrance because done is better than perfect.
Between the Grooves is hosted by James Curtis, music director and morning man in the Greater Toronto Area on Joy Radio, and Aisha Woods, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and musician. Together, they talk with artists and industry insiders to discover our connection between music and faith. You can connect with us on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Now, here's James and Aisha.
Welcome to Between the Grooves. It's James Curtis along with Aisha Woods. How you doing?
Hello, hello. I'm doing great, man. Never better. How about you?
I'm doing great. And part of the reason for that is because I've been looking forward to a trip south in the warmer climate. I mean, obviously we're in spring now, but I happen to like being in the islands and, you know, pretending at least to be on vacation. So I figured we could do that today. So let's take a trip to Jamaica.
Let's go down to Jamaica and visit with one of my buddies. He's done quite a bit of work for us. He's designed some album covers and done some lyric videos for us. Mr. Hevel Benson, all the way from Jamaica.
Welcome. I am happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. I don't think we've ever had a conversation like this before, Aisha. I will say this, and maybe this sets the stage for everything. In this day and age, everyone is a professional photographer. They're an influencer. They're a social media guru with absolutely no experience, no education, no training or whatever. So what that sounds like I'm putting you in a bad spotlight here, but what sets you above all of these wannabes?
I mean, I don't know. I respect the hustle. I mean, I see where the internet has allowed people to, you know, basically learn a lot of things online. I don't know if anything really sets me above. I know that, you know, I've worked in the industry professionally in terms of the graphics part. And then the Holy Spirit just kind of led me to actually learn a lot of these things online. And it's really opened a lot of doors, you know what I mean? So I think the way the world is now, it's really great for intuitives to really just pick up on things. So I don't know if anything really sets me above, but I've been doing it professionally. I used to work with a newspaper out here in Jamaica, Jamaica Observer. God used me tremendously there, really did some great things with that company. I became the head of the magazine department pretty much. And really launched that segment. I was doing the All Woman Sunday magazine, a bunch of different. And then from that, I really just became enamored with websites because that was the natural next step to doing static visuals. And then from that, you know, I just started to realize that, wait, you know, visual arts and oral arts are pretty much the same thing if you can see the way to translate them. And then that just kind of led me over into doing music publications. So on the site, tlftc.tech, I have a radio show tab where I did 10 different radio broadcasts, 1 hour each. And those were playing on KVR and radio over a space of 2 years, and I recently got contacted by someone out of Mississippi who wants to get those shows syndicated. Just at the time when God is saying, hey, you need to start doing more. So I don't know, I think it's just been an intuitive journey for me. One thing just kind of led to the other, following the Holy Spirit, the creative spirit. And I kind of respect, you know, what these gurus nowadays are doing to some degree. Of course, you know, there's some craziness out there, but from the perspective of being able to learn a lot of these things online, because, you know, the internet is the biggest library. My father, he's a major in the army out here in Jamaica, and he was the librarian. Yeah, he was the chief librarian in St. Catherine at the time when that was the biggest library in Jamaica. So I think I kind of have a unique approach to it. That's the most I could say in terms of my perspective on it.
I think partly, though, in everything that you've said, you have been doing this professionally versus some fly-by-night person.
Johnny who, come lately.
Yeah, somebody who just jumps on the bandwagon and says, hey, I can do that. Like
self-proclaimed.
Yeah, well, a lot.
And they don't do the work.
A lot of the stuff you see on social media, self-proclaimed, that's for sure. You know, they and they just figure they, you know, looked at some how-to, you know, do-it-yourself type videos on YouTube and, hey, I can do that. And then, you know, promote themselves as this, you know, big person that could do all this work. And maybe they don't have that kind of experience. So the fact that you've been doing this for a number of years, it says a lot, right?
So Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Proof's in the pudding for him.
Right, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so I've been doing it to that capacity since 1996. So, you know,
wow,
that's really, yeah, that was when I was a teenager. I went straight into the work world. And then, you know, I was also doing music. I released Bright Days in, I think that was like 2000, I don't remember, 2000, 2001. And that was my first release. It went to number two on the reggae gospel charts. And it stayed there for 2 months, so it's all glory to God. So, I don't know. There is, I think, some merit to being able to learn things online. But then when people come to it and they really don't know what they're doing, and then they're taking people's money, you know what I'm saying, and then, saying, can do this, and then they can't, that's where it's dangerous. That's a red line, you know what I'm saying?
Or what's worse, not only just taking their money, but charging the rates that a guy who's been doing it for professionally for years would charge.
Oh my God.
Thinking that they are
so
worth
crazy.
That. Yeah.
Don't get me started on that.
I don't mind if it's a part-time fun thing and, you know, the rates are a fraction of what you'd pay a pro. That's fine. And especially a young student getting their, you know, getting their experience and stuff like that. But, you know, you've put the work in. You've you know, done the hard labor, as it were, over the years to earn the spot that you're in right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah.
So tell me this, Hevel. How critical are you of your own work?
If you're
creating, like, you're creating visuals for your stuff. Mm-hmm. So actually my question is twofold. One, do you ever outsource for your material? And if you don't, how critical are you when working on your own stuff?
All right. So for graphics, I never outsource. For music, I really try not to. And I'm very critical. So much to the point that sometimes I got to be praying like, God, what's wrong with me? Like, I've been doing this for how long, and I'm still criticizing this thing and trying to find all kind of problems with it. And I think that's kind of just like, you can kind of grow, you know, practice makes better. And at some point you have to stop yourself and say, okay, let's be pragmatic here. This is good. All the elements to this product are good. You've done this 1,000 times before, you know, and I think it's like the spirit of perfectionism, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes that can be a hindrance because done is better than perfect. You know what I mean? We ain't perfect in any case. So, you know,
that's interesting.
I think I'm getting...
Done is better than perfect.
And done can still be excellence, right?
Yes. It can. Yeah. It can. So what I've learned is to look at things from a pragmatic perspective, look at it from the base, first principles. What are the ingredients in this product? If we want to really get down to the nitty gritty, once you have the right ingredients, it's a win. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to like visual arts, I kind of have mastered it because I've automated, I can write computer code. So I wrote some programs for like Photoshop to kind of like get me out of the way, right? So I programmed my best principles into the software. So at a couple keystrokes, I can I can just get to that point instead of me having to actually fight through it. You know what I'm saying? And then I've actually started doing some of that with the music. So like with FL Studio, which I used to produce, I am able to just write a bunch of shortcuts into it. But yeah, I'm overcoming and that whole
perfectionism,
being too critical.
Is that a word?
Which one? And I think
perfectionism, something like that.
Perfectionism, that one,
something like that. There's a hashtag for you.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I think a lot of artists.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about setting up those shortcuts. Sometimes people think shortcuts is a bad thing, and yet I think of even like I'm come from a radio background, and I know very often radio stations will set up an EQ type profile for their announcers, and each one has their own profile. So before they go on air, they set up their profile, and part of the reason for that is number one, to make their announcer sound great, but number two, to make the station overall sound great and uniform. So all their announcers aren't the same, obviously, but there'll be a same sort of sound to the radio station. Things are consistent. And so what that does when you set up a shortcut, in your case, whether it's, you know, the graphics side of things or the music side of things, at least there's some consistency in what the end user sees or experiences.
Right. Yes. And then there's so much to say about that because, for instance, let's start here with artificial intelligence, right?
We just talked about that. Here we go. This is opening up a can of worms.
I mean, I don't think we can have a conversation nowadays without talking about that.
Yeah.
It's impacting everything. But so that actually helps me. That has caused me to do an entire magazine, social media posts, a video, a flyer, posts on four different channels in 24 hours. I'm talking about a 54-page magazine.
So
that is a kind of a shortcut. But what it does is it allows me to get to the quality faster. So what I've learned, I've been on this path before we got to this AI, because I've been writing these little programs for about 5 years, right? But what I've learned is we have this wiggle room where, you know, you don't want to make everything, you don't want to get to this place where everything is just bland, where it's like, oh my God, it's the same.
Sure.
So that's what I like about a radio station, where everybody has their own personalized template for their own sound. And the thing is, they can always switch that up. Say you got a guy with a more of a baritone voice. He got about five different ranges that he can tweak his sound. And let's say, okay, he want to switch his sound every year or every 6 months. He can do that. But the shortcuts really, and I mean, we don't have any time to waste these days with everything that's going on. If for me personally, if you can find a way to expedite the process while providing excellence, oh my God, I think that's kingdom. Because I believe personally that all of this technology came from God. The Bible said that everything that was created through him. So I believe that God, I believe all of this technical computerization is from the kingdom of God. So I do believe that there's a role for it, but then you got to also know, it's just like everything is a tool. You know what I mean? You can use, you know, a rake to fix the yard, or you can use it to chase the neighbor's dog and hurt it. You know what I'm saying? So it's really...
Sure. And that was being very kind, because I was thinking something else.
I was trying to throw this thing,
beating somebody, But use the dog example, so that's fine.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think that's so... that whole thing is a new conversation that people need to have internally. It's dialogue. It's because it's a whole new field. I mean, with what's about to happen with artificial intelligence, we definitely need to be paying attention and participating at some level. I think that's just me. But while it's good.
While we're talking about AI, and I know, Aisha, you and I have had this conversation a little bit. We kind of just, you know, just touched the surface.
Scratched the surface a little bit.
Just a few weeks back. But here's something I was just thinking about. You know, we're talking about AI, probably completely unrelated to this conversation, but I thought I'd throw it out there. Could we ever have a Between the Grooves conversation like this powered by AI?
Absolutely.
Like I'm talking about Aisha Woods, AI, James Curtis, IA.
Oh, my.
And our guest, AI. Could it actually happen? I don't know.
That's possible today.
Probably so.
Yeah, that's possible right
now. And have the dynamics that we have in our conversations?
Absolutely, because for the past decade and a half, you and I have been posting our personalities on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. All of that is stored in a database.
But that's a visual thing. I'm talking audio.
No, hold on. So I'm talking about when we, the things we click, the things we type, the way we say things, all of that is recorded, all of those words. That's basically our personality digitized, right? So all you have to do is take that data set and hook that up to something like 11 Labs. Right now, you and I, right this moment, can go on 11 Labs, upload a 5 minutes, not even that long, 5 minutes.
Like a sample? Like
you could you could upload your voice right now into 11 Labs and right now just type and it will speak back to you in your own voice. You can do that right now.
I know that's doable. I'm talking about the conversation element, the conversation, the, you know, even
like
Aisha and I,
idiosyncrasies and
Aisha and I will be talking and
different nuances.
Inadvertently, I'll interrupt her or she'll interrupt me. Could you have, like, you'd almost have to have three different AIs interacting with each other for it to be real. And what I mean by that is because, mimicking my voice wouldn't be difficult. Mimicking Aisha's voice wouldn't be difficult. But having the conversation and the ideas flowing through our head and the weird comical stuff that I'll jump in once in a while with and keeping it clean for the podcast and all those rules that are behind the, you know, behind there, could you actually have an intelligent conversation where could I say this entire episode of Between the Grooves has been brought to you by AI? I don't know if I could do that now.
I believe so. How many episodes of In the Groove are on the internet right now?
Only 300.
We just had episode 300.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. It don't need 300. It will digest 300 in 3 milliseconds.
If that's the case, Aisha,
it's crazy.
We could save ourselves a whole lot of time here.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I was getting at. You know what? We're gonna have our next episode, and Aisha and I are just gonna put our feet up, relax. We're gonna let AI take it, and hopefully you enjoy it.
And the crazy thing is, I believe that we would probably be there in the next 3 years tops.
Yeah, I could see.
Oh my
gosh. I definitely can see it happening. This was more in jest than anything else.
It weirds me out. Golly.
Yeah, it would weird me out.
Beauty.
Because right now, and I've shared this with Aisha in the past. We'll have conversations with people like yourself, and I don't, and I know Aisha doesn't as well. We don't listen back to the conversations, and I shouldn't be saying that because I want people to listen to the podcast. We want listeners,
sure.
We want subscribers and whatnot. The reason why I don't listen is because I don't want to carve out a half hour of my day to listen to something that I've already experienced. And in that same time period, I don't want to have any regrets of, I wish I had asked this,
That's
or I
smart.
Wish we had talked about this. I wish
That's
we
smart.
Had gone on this little tangent here because that would have been an interesting
right.
conversation. So I don't want to have any regrets. I'll just let it be. It's the same thing when I'm doing my radio show in the morning. It's like once the show is done, I kind of,
you're ready for the next thing.
I'm moving on. Like
you
I've moved on. Will comment an hour and a half later saying, oh, I heard that little bit you did. It's like, I'm trying to remember. Oh, that's right. I did do something like that, but I'm moving on.
Right.
And so I suppose that if we let AI take over the podcast, then we'd actually have to listen. We'd have to listen back.
Yeah, we really would.
Right.
We'd probably be very entertained ourselves.
Right. So for a good
surprise
laugh.
Surprised to hear the things that come out of our mouths.
Now, this is an example of a tangent that has absolutely nothing to do with the whole conversation that we're having here. That's one of the reasons why I brought it up, because I mean,
I'm
sure.
Pivot.
Sorry?
I have a pivot.
Go ahead.
So how it can actually, the next question I was tempted to ask is, have you guys heard of Suno? S-U-N-O?
I have. I don't know what it is, though. I've heard that or seen it, maybe.
So it directly connects to this. So you guys should definitely check it out. Okay. So Suno is a AI. It's on version 3. You can type anything you want into it, and it'll sing in the voice of the Temptations. It'll sing like Toni Braxton. I mean, it's like completely flabbergasting what that thing can do.
And is it like ChatGPT? ChatGPT?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So okay. that's the pivot. So it's part. It gets the content from the same place I was mentioning before, and then it adds in the personality that it has captured from listening to records, and then it puts them together. So ChatGPT generates the lyrics, or you can just type in the lyrics yourself, and then tell it, "Hey, sing it in this style or that style." Sure. And they're paying $8 a month to use it, and you can put out 500 songs. So now, obviously, the next step is they're gonna say, "Okay, Aisha, you can put your voice in here, and you can just type, and it'll sing in your voice." So that's an idea. I was saying, well, that's a natural step. And then I was reading an article on Rolling Stones, and the guy who the team that make it, they say that's the next step they're gonna do, because these guys are, I don't know if I should say hellbent, but these guys are completely, they're looking at it from a completely democratizing. They opened the article saying, if you think 100,000 songs uploaded to Spotify a month or a day is outlandish, you're no way prepared for what's about to happen. So this is why we need to have these conversations, because we need to start using some of these tools, I believe, because I'm looking at some of the comments on these YouTube videos, and it's like this thing, they say it's not going to replace artists, but I mean, we have to have these conversations early, because it's, if I can just go in and type something. One thing I do believe where it'd be good for artists, though, is that there are a lot of people who are going to still want the connection that they have to Aisha Woods or to Hevo Benz's music. And I think it's going to carve out a niche for like human-made music.
Authenticity.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, but definitely check out Suno, because it is so emotional. I kid you not. The things I'm listening literally move me emotionally. And I said, okay, as soon as I'm able to, it's something, S-U-N-O, definitely check it out. I'm not trying to give an ad for them, by the way, but I'm trying to educate everyone in this space who's looking at this. And I mean, that could be great use for the gospel message too, you know? That could be great.
Yeah.
I could say, sing a song about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right. I spoke with a producer just recently, and he was explaining to me that the Grammy board, somehow you cannot submit computer generated music if it has those kinds of vocals on it. You cannot submit it for nominations.
I've heard that too, but how do they know?
Yeah.
Like with the way the technology's headed, how would they know? You know?
How do you
look at
police that?
Milli Vanilli.
That was way back
in
the 80s.
20, 30 years ago, absolutely.
But wait, guys. I think
that's right.
But wait, I think you guys are talking about,
I love their songs, by the way.
I think you guys were talking about the Drake situation, right?
The what situation?
I don't know.
So that was when Drake and The Weeknd put out, they didn't, well, I want to say they put it out. So there was a big scandal about Drake and The Weeknd putting out, there was an AI song. It was blowing up. It was a big deal. And at that time he said no. But since then, the Grammy CEO, I'm looking at an article right now, on new AI guidelines for music that contains AI-created elements is eligible, period.
It's eligible.
Yes, and I saw another article where they were excited. See, guys, you have to look. Bananas. You have to look at the Remember, it's the love of money. So I'm saying, look at what's been going on with Spotify, the DSPs. You know what I mean? How Spotify is basically an extended arm of the big three. How UMG? They're definitely going to create AI music. I mean, every artist on planet Earth is in Spotify's algorithm. So that means that algorithm is already trained on every artist. UMG just went and met with Google, right? So, you know, I predicted that UMG is going to start their own Spotify. They just released their answer to TikTok, where now people can. So the whole music industry is going to change dramatically, and artists. I mean, that's not to say it's the end of the world.
5-10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's already it's already changed.
Because of technology.
That's right. And with technology. And so you mentioned you mentioned about the streaming services. You mentioned about the love of money. Let me tell you, the artists are not loving the money on the streaming side because they're not able to make as much. And I've always had the argument where artists, I believe, and I don't know what the actual numbers are, but I believe artists actually make more money having their song played on the radio, like the actual compensation per spin versus what they get off the streaming services. But let me tell you, somebody down the line is making a ton of money on these streaming services.
Oh, you better know
exactly.
And percentage-wise,
Lucian Grange and UMG.
Yeah,
that's who's making all the money.
That's right. So that's
so crazy.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it.
And they don't care about the artists either. I mean, look at what they did.
No.
I mean, it's just a bunch of politics. They don't care about the artists. Taylor Swift and all of the, I mean, the numbers on Spotify about who's making the money, it's the most egregious robbery of the 21st century as far as I'm concerned. So I'm saying when you really look at it, people are paying money to put their songs on Spotify and are at a loss. Only 50% of, no, it's like 75% of artists on Spotify have less than 1,000 plays per month.
And, sure.
And as a result, they don't get paid because you don't get paid on Spotify, the new rules, until you have over 1,000 plays. So I'm a big advocate for direct to consumer. I was that for always. I never put my music on Spotify. That's why I didn't even push a lot of music all this time, because I was like, these guys are stealing from artists. And I saw it and I said, you know what? I'm just going to try to minister. And that's why you guys saw me doing ministry with, you know, churches and, you know, other things, because even though, so I was doing like YouTube and different ways where I could get the message out, but for me to try to distribute, and there wasn't the technology at the time, like there is now, where you can actually, and this is recent. It's not until recent that you're actually able to set up your own website and set up your own digital download direct to you. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
that way three months from Apple, or, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just passionate about this stuff. That's why I call the site .tech, because, you know, the technical and the whole technician in me, I guess, is just like, that's a big part of who I am. And, you know,
I think it's really frustrating and sad that the means of compensation for artists has so dramatically changed that there's not a lot in it for them anymore. In the past, they could rely on CD sales or you know, people actually buying their music to have on their device versus just you know, streaming it now. And that's why I see artists who are brilliant at what they do, and I'm not talking these big name people. I'm talking smaller artists that are brilliant at what they do, but they don't have the business savvy or the time to spend dealing with like things like merch. I mean, who would think that merch would make up so much of their compensation these days, you know?
A ton.
Yeah.
A ton.
And yet, you know, artists don't want to invest the time in that because now that pulls them away from what they want to do, which is to create.
I've found that over the years, great portion of revenue, excuse me, was drawn at shows. Mm-hmm. And so when you're out playing, you're at festivals, mm-hmm. you're at churches, you're at mm-hmm. fairs, county fairs, and, you know, just these different venues, you're playing, you're in front of people. That's where you're making your money. You're able to sell merch. But this day and age, people don't buy CDs anymore.
Well, some of the church crowds
but
does.
They buy other.
They're still used to that, you know.
But they buy.
They've gone away from cassette tapes and they've gone to CDs. So they're still in that CD world a little bit, you know.
Yeah, a very small percentage.
It's getting smaller.
I'll
yeah,
say.
That's right.
Yes, it is. And but that's more reason to have your music played at radio. Because if people don't hear it, then, you know, they're not going to call for you to come.
Right. And I've always said radio isn't the ultimate for any artist, because it's really a marketing tool more than anything else. Right.
Yes.
But there's more than just the marketing thing. And that's probably, Hevel, why this conversation is important, because some of the stuff that you bring to the table is also important. Like if you're not getting out there and marketing yourself, whether it be getting your songs played on the radio, but having a mm-hmm. website, having
social
presence, professional pictures done, you know, doing mm-hmm. a proper photo mm-hmm. shoot and stuff like that. Some artists have a logo to their name, right, that they use when they're that they mm-hmm. either throw up on their website. I've got one for my website. And then, of course, we talked a little bit about the merch stuff. You do all of that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
What percentage-wise is the biggest volume of business that you do out of all of that stuff? Because you've got the digital marketing, you've got the graphic design, you've got you do videos, the editing, and the web stuff, logos, all that stuff. What is the bulk of your business?
That's a good question. I mean, it's like every week, because I'm a solopreneur at this point, you know, I'm doing all that. I'm doing flyers. I think it's basically flyers. Promotional flyers are the more. Actually, I can't even say that because, you know, I'm actually even doing magazines. You know, I do so much. But I think that's a great point you made. But I think it needs to be coupled with solving the problem that technology has created for us, if I may, because with technology. So
yeah, like embracing it is what you're saying.
Yes. And actually knowing what's available. So I don't know if you guys know, I found this out and I was flabbergasted that recently, like in Asia, there are groups that are selling millions of physical music products bundled with merch and everything at mm-hmm. release consistently, like 3 million, so much that people are throwing them away. Now, this is the kicker. They've embraced technology where they have this little device. I don't remember what it's called, but it's about the size of a credit card, right? And it's about as thick as probably, let's say, your finger. And you just tap that thing to you buy that as a physical product. It's basically like a little MySpace. It has music inside it. It has biography. It has all these value-added propositions in it. You tap it on your smartphone and it instantly loads the song and the music into your smartphone in an app. That is brilliant. That's what's mm-hmm. necessary. We need either, I believe, I would love to meet with some liberators who could, especially if they're believers, who could create a new ecosystem, because the current ecosystem is absolutely egregious, and it has no merit or kindness or good intentions for artists, in my estimation. And as I have mm-hmm. estimated, I'm seeing it come to pass. So there are technologies that are digital and physical. I don't know if you guys see that vinyl is making comeback right now. A lot of people are buying
absolutely.
Vinyl. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? And there's value there. You know, I would love to hear Aisha's voice on vinyl, because vinyl is it's a deeper bit rate, so there's more frequency in vinyl than on
I understand what he's saying. You're absolutely.
I know you understand.
Yeah, yeah. I understand exactly what you're saying, and there is just the sound that you. There's a sound that's missing when you're listening, whether it's online or even from a CD or other technologies that just isn't there. It's just that missing element, and it's hilarious actually when you look at the amount of sales that have increased on turntables and record players and stuff.
Yes.
That 10, 15 years ago, it's like, that stuff's gone. It's done with, right?
Right.
I told you this a while back, Aisha. I'm still interested, and I'm looking around to get a used reel-to-reel machine. Not the same as vinyl. It's
nice.
It's tape, but it's just just to play with and have some
analog?
Fun.
Yes, sir.
Definitely analog.
Would it be considered?
Yeah, because that's tape, right?
Okay.
And I would never use it for my voiceover business or anything like that. But just I've got some old reel-to-reel tapes from when I went to radio college and stuff that I listen back
that's
on.
That's cool.
Play around with. Here's how you, because it's completely different technology as far as. Editing is concerned. It's absolutely 100% not digital. but it's the sort of thing that it'd be kind of cool to listen back on some stuff like that.
It'd be absolutely delightful.
Yeah, to even music and stuff, to listen back on a high speed.
Yeah.
7.5 or 15 inches per second.
Sheesh.
If you know anything about audio and tape and stuff like that, those are the speeds on the reel to reels.
I'm at this point a little lost.
Yeah. Okay.
To be very honest.
Sorry. So welcome back, Aisha. Back to the podcast. We bring her back now as we finish that component of our conversation. And
that's the beauty. That's the beauty of creativity, though, right? Because see, what you just did was you ideated a technology that doesn't exist, right? And the beauty of the sonic field is that. So bear with me a little bit, Aisha. This part has to be said for the gearheads out there.
She's tuned right out. She's walked out the room again.
They could have created a digital format that actually encapsulates wide frequencies. It doesn't have to just stop at 44 kilohertz, if that's the number, I think, right?
44.1 or something like that, yeah.
44.1, right. Because remember, in the West, the sound of the West is completely different. The music of the West is completely from 95% of the planet.
Sure.
So the way that the technology has been crafted, and when we look at the effect that it is having on the listeners, I do believe I pray to God that I would be able to unlock those technologies or that God will put me in the path of some people, because this is happening. There are people, individual musicians, who are teaming up with technical people and creating. I mean, look at all these plugins that are coming out.
Let's go.
Okay, you got me. You got me fired up. Let me calm down. But you know what I'm saying? This would be so amazing, right? This would be so amazing. And it's possible. Do you know that they're creating a new CD? There's a new version of CD coming back that can hold petabytes of information. That means one CD will now be able to hold pretty much all the music ever created on planet Earth.
Yeah, so with CDs, there was obviously...
That's crazy.
CDs always had a capacity limit as far as how much stuff you could put on there. And then what happened was, especially with the computer age and whatnot, you could actually put music on DVDs because you don't have the video component to it, so you could actually fit more songs on a DVD as long as you had something to play it back on. But even that had a limit. And the reason why I know some of this stuff is because not that I'm an expert on any of this, except that I've always backed up my computer at home. And you used to be able to buy computers that had a DVD player or a CD player on the computer itself. And so what I would do is I would actually back up all my entire computer and all the contents and all the files and whatever. I would back up on a DVD because I could fit more stuff on there. But there came to a point where you can't fit enough even on that DVD. So you'd have to get, you know, DVD one of three, two of three, yeah. three of three. And yeah, I've still got all that stuff sitting in my safe somewhere in case I ever need to back up my computer from 10, 15 years ago. But what you're saying, Havel, is that there's now even bigger capacity so that you can put all that stuff with more dynamics and, you know, bigger files in a sense, as far as the audio quality is concerned.
Exactly. And even when we saw DVDs and we looked at the purple ink, I mean, maybe me as an artist, I was like, oh, purple ink, interesting. So you're telling me because they changed the ink, they could put more? I wonder if there are other inks they can use. That was like decades ago, right? And this past month, I was watching some tech stuff and they have a new ink that has multi-layer, not just the ink, also the way the information is written to the disk. Mm-hmm. They can write it in 100 layers deep. I don't even know how that thin film has 100 layers, but they can write 100 layers of information onto a disk, which is just amazing. And then on top of that, they also have, they're creating a new chip that is analog. So I thought digital was the cat's meow, but they have created a new analog chip which doesn't need to convert it to the ones and zeros. Okay, I think we're getting too nerdy now. But
yeah. Well, it's funny you start talking about chips because my dad, who's passed away now, but he worked for a company for like 29 years, and they were they did a lot of government type projects. So, you know, aviation okay. systems and
yes.
Oh, nice.
Guidance systems and
oh, wow, that's a and top level.
So I went, and he was an engineer, and so I remember as a kid I would go Whoa. Visit him at his workplace. It would, you know, bring your kid to work day or something like that, and I'm mm-hmm. sitting, and he's in this room with all these chips, these computer chips. Now, no word of a lie, these chips are like 3 inches by 2 inches mm-hmm. in size, and that was a computer chip, and that was wow. small back then, right? And good now gracious. If you think about computer chips, even the little SIM card that goes in your phone, I mean, that's yes. considered big now because they're so small. Technology has just gone crazy, and the, yeah. the amount of information you can fit on these things is enormous. So it's not surprising if there's, you know, 1,000 layers on like a CD or something to be able to fit wow. information. Like, why not?
It's hard to fathom.
Mind blowing.
Really. It's hard to fathom and really wrap your mind around.
Yeah.
And especially being a person that's not a techie. So I got a question for you, Havel. So if there mm-hmm. was, with what you know now, today, at this time, if there was a piece of gear, some hardware mm-hmm. or something that you could mm-hmm. get your hands on without having to pay for it, what would it be?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Without having to pay for
what you just said. Oh my goodness. Holy Spirit, help me today. Okay, so I was trying not to mention this because I thought we were getting too nerdy, but then you just asked me to say it. So you just mentioned chips, right? Last week, NVIDIA, who is the largest chip maker on planet Earth, and their stock price is literally just gone through the roof. They created a chip called, oh my God, what is it called? It's called Blackwell. This chip can process, okay, I have to say this slowly. It can process.
Yes, please say it slowly for
so
us.
So we understand, yeah. You might have to give it okay. to us in layman's terms.
Right.
Like, I had to stop and think about it. Like, the implications of this is, okay, so I want to say this for two reasons. One, so that people can know that this technology is next year, probably by the end of the year. And two, so that they can start preparing for how they can utilize this. And three, if there's anybody on listening who is in that space.
To give it to you for free.
To give it to me for free.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's where we're heading, right? Isn't that where we're heading, Aisha?
That's yes. where we're heading. Yeah. I mean, if you're saying if it's a dream that, okay, I'm going to just put it out there. Okay, so this is it. There's a chip called Blackwell. The chip, okay, let me say this part first. There are chips. It's okay, hold on. Let me try to explain this. All right, so.
We're setting the stage. We're setting the stage here.
Yeah, let me set the stage. So you know when you're typing on your computer? No, not when you're typing. Okay, so you're using a plugin in the studio, right? And the RAM, the readily accessible memory, is processing, and you can see the little bar going across the screen, so it's processing the auto-tunes or whatever. That is what you call a float. That's called a floating point process, right? So it's basically like the computer is thinking without having to save it to the hard disk, all right? So
Okay, so
and that's why they say prior, in a computer you want as much RAM as possible so you don't have to use the hard drive and make it faster.
Now check this out.
Okay.
There's a chip that can do 1 quintillion processes per second. Not 1 million, 1 quintillion. So that's five, I think that's like...
How many zeros?
That'll break your calculator. Like your calculator will put error on the screen because it can't show a quintillion. It'll just say, it'll give you an error message. Okay, the new chip, the Blackwell chip, can do 647, 640. Okay, so a quintillion is called a quintillion. No, wait, a quintillion is called an exaflop. It can do 604.
Do you even put an S on that?
Somebody like jump. No S. Jump on Google right quick.
Quintillion.
Quintillion.
Quintillion is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 zeros.
Okay, nice. Okay, good. Thank you for doing that. Now, so that's called an exaflop, okay? The Blackwell chip can do 647 exaflops of processing. Can someone just take a moment and try to comprehend how much processing power is it? I barely can, because I'm like scared to actually think about the ramifications of that. But they're going to have...
What does it do for you?
It's what's running AI.
So, Aisha, to simplify things, it's like when you can't maybe picture this, but when my wife gives me a list of things to do and my mind is blown that it's way too much and I can't process it, this allows me to process it a little better. Sorry.
Likewise.
I hope she never hears this. She'll be hitting me next time.
No, it's all up.
So I say all that to say, if I could get that chip, oh my God, I could liberate.
What would you do?
Every gospel. I would fix the music industry for the gospel message first and foremost, because currently the way the music industry is so dark, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, this technology is going to fall into, I mean, they're the ones that have created it. But I think the kingdom should not be woefully outgunned and, you know what I'm saying, out of the fray.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
you're a preacher too.
This is God's, technology. I don't know. This is God. All of these things are God's technology, technical knowledge. Sure. So the first scientists were Christians. Mm. The first scientists were Christians. These were men of God that said science is the study of what God has done after he has done it. Right. So where we are right now, where you have all the foolish people that are saying there is no God. The Bible says a fool says in heart, there's no God.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that have the power to. Jesus said that we should occupy. You know, I think the church today is not living up to their full potential to the slightest. Right. When I look at what Jesus is calling us. So Jesus was saying when. He was doing the Sermon on the Mount. He said to Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Philip says, we going to need to work. Like he said, it would take a half a year's wages. And he looked at him and said, you do it. When they were on the boat and the storm, he was like, you do it. Like, don't you know who I am? You have the power. What have I been teaching you? Right? He said to... I think it was Elizabeth at Lazarus' resurrection. She was like, I know he'll rise at the resurrection. And he said, I am the resurrection. You see what I'm saying? I think Jesus was continually trying to get into our heads that we are supposed to have dominion. And I think that's why he said, when he was leaving, he said, when I come back, will I find faith? You know what I mean? Yeah. I see this consistent thing where Jesus really wants us to not just be off in some corner, you know what I mean? Just right. just existing. I think we should be
sure.
We should be really
advancing,
impacting, you know what I mean? Having dominion. You know what I'm saying? And, mm-hmm. and that's because I see that's what Jesus wanted. I mean, the other day, I want to give this testimony. God had me reading the book of John, right? Like for about 2 months, every Sunday, I would just read the book of John. And then about a month ago, I was reading the book of John, and he said, every time you see a miracle, put an asterisk beside it and just think on that. So I did that. Then I came downstairs after reading it, and I was on the balcony. I was looking over in the yard, and I saw there were like three nice yellow oranges on the tree. And the Spirit said, go pick them. I didn't know it was the Spirit at the time. I just felt like, you know, it was in my mind. Anyway, I went and I picked them. And I was down there for like 15 minutes. It feels like I picked about 15 oranges. When I came back up, I threw them up on the balcony, and then like my wife and my daughter took them and they put them in the kitchen. When I came back into the kitchen, the sink was full. I can send you guys a picture of this. And when I counted these, like the Lord said, record that, take a picture, count them. And when I counted, there were 100 oranges. I said, what just happened? I called them. I said, did we have oranges in the fridge? Did y'all put oranges in here? And what I recognized was the Lord did a miracle, because he confirmed it twice. The next 2 weeks, I went down there and I literally said, I'm going to count every orange that I pick. It took me about an hour, and I counted 100 oranges to the number. And I found it interesting. I said, wow, not 101, not 99. God must be trying to say something to me. And what I recognized was God was saying, yes, the first time you did pick less because you spent less time. And you surely didn't pick 100 because you know what 100 looks like. And then I was talking to God about it because I was like, what is going on? And then I saw a YouTube video with a preacher who, because you guys know there are people on this planet that are raising people from the dead. So this preacher was saying he did that after God told him to go through the scriptures and find everywhere that people, there was a resurrection, and meditate on it. I say all of that to say, God is not a respecter of persons. Anyone who taps in, anyone who, he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall do greater things. Yeah. He said, ask what you will, it will be done to you. And he also says, greater things you will do. In that whole John section, I think it's 6. There are about 3 different times that he's basically saying that same sentiment in different verses. At this point, I got them all mixed together. So what I recognize is that the church has so much power. Every dream, every idea that comes into our head that's of the kingdom, no matter how grandiose it seems, is absolutely possible. It's absolutely possible. So, you know, I just think we should be really doing some bigger things.
You know, I
tapping in.
I don't want to sound, after all of that, I don't want to sound shallow, but you had me at orange tree in your yard. Like I'm in Canada. We don't have orange trees here. And I'm just thinking like picking off a fresh orange off the tree. Like I'm there, you know? And so again, I not that I've lost focus or anything like that, but that's
funny.
That's what I'm reflecting on right now.
Look, James is like, I had a revelation at orange. He was caught up in third heaven when you said, oh,
glory to God.
Right. That's
glory
right. God. That's right.
And I don't want to be long-winded about it, but I mean, there's so many things, you know, so much creative. And I mean, we have the creative spirit, right? If God is the creator and we are in him and he's in us, then we should be making all kind of changes on the all kind of changes in every area, in every aspect, in every industry.
I think,
you know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of people are, I agree with you, but I think a lot of people are scared and they like the limits. You know, that this is my box, is the way I work, and and I'm comfortable, versus stepping out of that place and actually striving to achieve bigger things.
Sure.
We definitely need to address that type of thinking, I think, because, you know, I think that we're stewards, right? So that kind of limitation, you know, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? And his major tool is fear. So if and I fight this too, you know, if we allow ourselves to be scared, then I think we are doing a disservice to ourselves and to the greater body. And that's something I pray about weekly. You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, yes. God, because when I start introspecting some of the things in my head sometimes, I'm like, what in the world is that? Amen.
Sure.
Amen. Do it afraid. You know what I mean? Because, you know, a quick testimony, when Aisha said, hey, Haval, you want to, well, I'm inviting you, you know, I was like, me, what? I got, well, God, I don't know, God, what? I think I probably said no at the point. And then God was like, you're going on that. You are going on that. You're going to message her back. Because someone called me out of the blue and I was just talking to them. And they were like, oh my God, I'm so happy I called you. And I was like, okay, God, all right. I see you have me to say something. So, all right, I'm going to go on here and you use me. And I think that's what it's all about. Just because there's so much beauty in life that fear stops people from accessing all the rich colors. If you guys look at my website, you know, all of those beautiful colors, I think, are a metaphor or a personification, a metaphor of the beauty that flows from God. You know what I'm saying? You know, he gave us the rainbow as a representation. The Bible says he has the rainbow over his throne in heaven. When you look at the New Jerusalem, it has all these beautiful stones. And when light hits them, there was a scientist that shined light through all of these different, and he saw some colors that were just like, oh my God. And Lucifer had those same stones in him. Sardonyx, onyx, I don't remember all of them. But Lucifer had those same stones. And in his best state, not before he became fell and became Satan, that was the beautiful image of God. And the New Jerusalem is where we, his children, are going to be at. So that tells me that God wants us to shine on 1,000% and to just be full of the light. So I don't mean to be long-winded. It's just that when you say these things, there's so much that tugs on my heartstring.
Fired up.
Yeah, so glory to God, I mean. But yeah, we really need to, in my humble opinion, I'm talking to myself too. I'm definitely going to listen back to this podcast. Talk to myself.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
We're going to inspire you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a great blessing.
Yes.
Well, thanks for hanging with us. Really appreciate it. Really enjoyed the conversation. It's kind of completely went. Talk about an AI tangent. This went completely in left field, but it was great.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yes, I really enjoyed myself. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Take care.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. All right, be blessed, y'all.
Thanks,
you
too.
All right. Bye-bye. Haval Benson from TLFTC.tech. Check out that website. It's got a lot of great stuff on there. Great to have that conversation with him. And before we go, some artist advice. This week, Micah Tyler.
Be faithful to what's in front of you. Like, I meet a lot of young Christian artists who will see me walk off a stage in front of 5,000 people and will catch me and say, how do I get to do what you're doing tonight? And I was like, well, what are you doing today? Because the thing is, it may be, like for me, it was playing in front of, you know, 20 kids in a youth room. I played a lot more concerts in front of, you know, a pizza party of youth that don't want to listen to what you're saying, or a group of kids at a youth camp where it's sweaty and it's not the lights and it's not the sound and it's not all those things. It's just us trying to be faithful to God in that moment. And I tell them, like, you know, don't reserve your faithfulness for tomorrow, because you have no idea what tomorrow is going to be. But if God's putting things, if there's a youth group, if there's a coffee shop, if there's songwriters in your area that you can write with, or whatever that looks like, you can just read your Bible and just get ready for the moments whenever you have to start telling stories and sharing the gospel with people. Be faithful to that, because what if the things that God's putting in your life right now to be faithful to are building, it will be building something to what you're going to end up being faithful for in the future. So I would just say, look straight in front of you and be faithful to that. And then when the door opens up, when the Lord opens up a door for you, go through it. When he closes the door, you can either knock on it or you can say, okay, I'll wait for the next door to open. But yeah, be faithful to what's in front of you.
I love that. I love hearing that from Micah. And
he's your buddy, right?
Faithfulness goes, you know what? I was surprised to know that that he was in the audience at a few shows that I played, like back in the day.
Yeah.
So he was familiar with me, and I didn't know that.
He was probably the young aspiring artist that would have had these questions for you, right?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's learned
talk
it
about
himself.
Faithfulness.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It goes a long way.
I like what he said, you know, his response or his question, what are you doing today?
Right.
You got to start somewhere. And so you have to be faithful now, not wait for something to happen. You got to be faithful now and something will happen.
Yeah, sure enough. I mean, God's word tells us if you're faithful over little, I'll make you rule over much. And so, you know, you just do what you can and remain faithful.
That's right.
To the end. Yeah.
Well, that is it. We are out of time. Really enjoyed the conversation today, as usual. Completely unexpected as far as what we were going to chat about. But that seems to be the norm.
I love that.
It seems to be the norm. And I will tell you that I will confirm to you right now that this episode was not AI. This was actually us chatting. So rest assured, we are still here. We are still in person. We are still live. There's no computer-generated stuff as far as Between the Grooves is concerned at this point.
Look, like Jesus said, touch my hands.
Exactly. All these people reaching in their computers to touch our hands. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on all our social media platforms.
Listening to Faith Strong Today's Between the Grooves podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with your friends, rating our podcast, or giving us some love on your socials to your amazing friends and followers will only help us reach more people. We'd also love to hear from you and share your feedback in an upcoming episode. Send your video or written message to Aisha and James on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Or email us anytime, hello@faithstrongtoday.com.